Please be seated. I've entitled the message today, Joseph's Peace. And yes, my voice is deeper, about 2 octaves probably. Got a bit of a cold thing happening. So hopefully I'll be able to talk through the cold to you this morning and preach on this passage that was read for us about Joseph taking Mary to be his lawfully wedded wife. David Jeremiah penned a book called Why the Nativity? Why the Nativity? And then in that book, he has a chapter. And the chapter's called Why Joseph? Why Indeed? Really, millions of people celebrate Christmas all over the world, don't they? Yet millions don't know the reason why God chose this particular man, Joseph, to be the father of Jesus Christ. Why? The answer is to bring us peace. How is it that God chose this man who labored with his hands, one that didn't have much prowess, I believe, in way of scholarly pursuits, but yet had great dexterity with the use of wood and carpentry implements? This was indeed the father of Joseph. God could have chosen a king or a priest or a scholar to be Joseph's father. Jesus' father. At least in this way, Jesus would have had some merit in becoming a teacher or a rabbi. I believe that God chose Joseph not for his profession, but more so for his heart. He was indeed a peacemaker. Jesus' top-ranked sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, has as one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Joseph turned conflict and scandal into peace in this passage that was read for us today. Well, first of all, the character of peace. The character of peace. And if you're following along in the outline, you can fill that word in, character. Matthew's account of Joseph's genealogy is given in the first part of that chapter 1. Kind of a long list of various names, different men being fathers of different sons, through the lineage of David and Solomon. And this is indeed Joseph's lineage. Interestingly, that the Jewish people saw very importantly one's family tree, one where one originated from was hugely important to the Jewish people. And so Matthew, the author of this book, felt that it was very pertinent and very necessary that the audience really understood who the father of Jesus was, that indeed, patriarchally, from the line of the father, this is his lineage. And indeed, even the mother's lineage follows through King David as well. So while the prophet said in Isaiah 9:6 that Jesus would come and that he would be the Prince of Peace, because not only would he bring peace to mankind, but he's also the descendant of David, Solomon, and the like. Joseph's outward circumstances are anything but peaceful in these circumstances that were read for us today. In Matthew's account, Joseph is engaged to a woman, and this woman is found to be pregnant, a very shameful thing to happen. And adding insult to injury, Joseph wasn't even the father. There are 3 stages in a Jewish wedding. First of all, the 2 families get together and they decide, yes, this would be a good match, a good family tie to bring the man and the woman together. The second thing that happens is a public announcement. They declare to the public that, yes, these two are to be married. And in Jewish culture, when this happens, really, they are married in the eyes of the public. These two are on the track now to be married. So if they wanted to stop that track, halt it in its way, they would actually have to get a divorce. And it was considered a divorce. And so even before they came together as a married couple, the announcement was given that these two would be bequeathed to each other. And so they were walking that marital path together when, unbeknownst to Joseph, she's found to be pregnant. And he knows that it wasn't him. And so there is a huge degree of shame. There is a huge degree of public disgrace in that. And so he's no doubt wondering what has happened here in way of these circumstances. Disgraced publicly, and yet he feels that he needs to do something to protect Mary. And so rightfully by the law, as an adulteress, Mary could be and might well be, if the full weight of the law be delivered to her, stoned as an adulteress. But yet Joseph decides, no, I would rather that I do this quietly, that she not be found to be bearing a son from another man. And so I'm going to put her away quietly, divorce her quietly and not publicly. Peace in character is a sense of inner calm and equilibrium. Joseph certainly didn't have that exteriorly, but interiorly, I believe he did. In the Old Testament, shalom was a common greeting and continues to be a common greeting in Israel today. Shalom means peace. But it's just not the absence of conflict. It suggests completeness, health, justice, prosperity, protection. When you wish somebody shalom or peace, you're washing them a holistic, well-filled life. And so this is a very common greeting. Just like in the Chinese culture, we say, chafalama, right? Are you full of food, right? The Jewish people, are you full of peace? Are you full of peace? Shalom considers the widest understanding of well-being in the presence of Yahweh. Many people today are seeking this kind of peace in our world, aren't they? A fullness and a lack of turbulence. And yet our world is anything but lacking in turbulence. The means of doing and finding peace is in our world not in way of seeking God, not in way of understanding who Jesus Christ is and what he came to do for us as human beings. No, our world rather pops pills and hits the bottle. Maybe involves themselves in some yoga or maybe some soft music. All kinds of ways to draw oneself into peace. So interested, you know, in sitcoms today. You know, they have a little turbulence in the TV show, and the turbulence disturbs somebody, and immediately they get out their bottle, pop the cork, and put some wine into a glass. This is the solution of the world to gain peace. Just steady my nerves. But really what alcohol does is just make us stupid. It deadens our sense of reality and keeps us from thinking straight. Won't you agree? So God calls us not to be stupid in way of drinking alcohol, but to be sensible and to think straight in way of what God has done for us. This song the worship team sang for us this morning of the doctrines of the Christian church. When we think deeply of those Christian doctrines, they should well up within our soul a deep sense of peace and gratitude towards God. Instead of popping the cork on a bottle and pouring yourself a glass of wine, put that aside. Take out God's word. Look into the scriptures. And again, reflect on God's grace, God's love, God's peace for each one of us. Peace is a byproduct of trusting God. Joseph had that angel come to him at night and say to him, "This woman that is to be taken by you, she is not pregnant by any other man, but rather by God himself. Joseph, you should take this woman, Mary, to be your wife." Joseph, trust the word of God, the angelic messenger to him. He trusts this angel. And then a second part of peace is obedience. Joseph follows in suit with going and attending to Mary, and indeed taking her to Bethlehem, protecting her, and taking her as his wife, but yet not consummating the marriage. Peace is a byproduct of obedience, which we see here in verse 24, that Mary indeed became his wife. Obedience doesn't always make for immediate smooth sailing either, does it? We know that Joseph and Mary had to board a donkey and go into Bethlehem to do their taxes. Life isn't just smooth sailing once one does an act of obedience towards God. In taking Mary as his wife, he would have to bear up under the social stigma of those that still felt that, you know, something wasn't right there, and I think that Mary has committed adultery. The character of peace is not fleeing from conflict or padding our own nest, but rather it is in resting in the comfort of God and his word to us. It's very much walking into the fray with a confidence in God's provision and God's will for us. Well, the prophecy of peace, we see this in verse 22 and 23 of our text this morning, talking about the angel speaking to Joseph in regards to this. In verse 23, the virgin, first of all, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And then second of all, that they should call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Prophecy indeed is the word of the Lord. Secondly, it's a foretelling of something that is to be future. And thirdly, that is to be fulfilled. Indeed, these words are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The virgin did give birth, and his name was called Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew takes great pains in his text here today to deal with the supernatural reality of God being joined to humankind. An amazing thing. God is in the heavens. How could he so condescend to become a human being, one like unto us, with flesh and bones, and taking the whole human journey? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that fantastic? That is what we believe as Christians, that indeed God himself clothed himself in human flesh. Matthew says here in verse 1:18, Mary was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Next, Matthew 1:20, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then the virgin will conceive. They will call him Emmanuel. Matthew is here very clearly saying to those that are reading, it's not by adultery. Believe in God and his love for us as human beings. Matthew here doesn't give us a lot of details, as does Luke in his account. He's more concerned, I believe, in giving us more so this understanding of what the prophecies entailed and Jesus being the full, completed fulfillment of those prophecies. An earthly explanation of of a heavenly bent Savior was to bring peace and redemption to all mankind. For God's word specifies the nature of this God-man to be among us, that being the very Savior of which we bow and worship, the very reason. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of His only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth." Emmanuel, Son of God, God with us, God manifested to us in human flesh. The word Emmanuel is not a name or a title. It's a descriptive term characterizing Jesus and His person. God with us. God revealed in human flesh. When the angel reveals to Joseph these prophecies taken out of the Old Testament, Jesus would be the ultimate bringer of peace between man and God, uniting them totally in one package, the man God. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. To me, securing the prophecy of peace is the Christmas story further confirms the Christian belief in Jesus' perfection of salvation for us. And that, my friends, should bring us an overabiding sense of peace. The comfort and solace of peace is my third point for you this morning. My son Travis recently came home. I didn't ask permission from Travis to say this to you this morning, but it's nothing bad. He came home and said, "Dad, I can't believe it. At art school, it seems that everybody is so depressed and they're so confused. All the turbulence in the world today, it just seems, people just have no confidence and they're just so scared all the time." And I thought, yeah, well, how could they not be scared if they believe in the secular ideology of our age? Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes pontificated a Darwinian evolution mentality typical of this progressive age in which we live. And we can find it very much alive and well in the city of Vancouver. Oliver Holmes was a staunch atheist, was born March 8, 1841, died March 6, 1935, in his 90s. He served on the Supreme Court Justice of the United States from 1902 to 1932, 30 years. And he was the most cited justice in history. He also was a Harvard Law professor. So you can see he had all the right credentials to be an authority figure. Personal correspondence of his was criticized, but also lauded in his day. He remarked in a letter in 1926 to John C.H. Wu, "I see no reason for attributing to man a significant difference in kind from that which belongs to a baboon or a grain of sand. I believe that our personality is a cosmic ganglion which certain streams of energy cross in a meeting point, framing syllogism or wagging of a tail." In other words, folks, we are about as worthwhile as a simple grain of sand or a baboon. No difference. Human being, baboon, grain of sand, we're all equal. This was a syllogism that was given by this Harvard Law professor, Oliver Holmes. Then we have our famed John Lennon with the Beatle-famed song, "Imagine." Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Peace cannot evolve in our soul by an atheistic philosophy, friends. Wickedness and selfishness are part of our world. It's not just to be blamed on religion and irreligious souls. We can't demark it that way. Believing man is significant or insignificant, like a grain of sand or like a baboon, is totally not going to bring us a sense of quiet within our souls. Blaming war and conflict and religion makes for some good catchy lyrics for John Lennon, but they don't add up to peace, only more confusion and muddy water. Isaiah 57:20 says, "But the wicked are like the tossing of the sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud." To find solace and comfort, it's just not a matter of expelling some negative thoughts or focusing down, saying, "Boy, I'm a tough cookie, I'm going to get through this," or "religion is the problem." Peace does not come to us except if we understand reality and the reality and the truth of the Christian gospel. Denying God's existence doesn't make the world a better place. What you believe can harm you. It really can. Seriously. There was a pastor that went to visit a shut-in in a nursing home, an older gentleman. And this pastor came to him and sat down on the edge of his bed and got talking to him, and he looked over, and there on the nightstand was this nice bowl of nuts. So he reached out and helped himself to a few as he was chatting away with his older gentleman friend, just popped a few and kept talking and reaching and eating, talking, eating, reaching, eating. Before he knew it, over and the bowl was empty. So he got up to leave and thanked his friend for the time that they had spent together conversing. And he said, "You know, I feel bad. Here I've eaten all your peanuts on you. And, you know, I'm really, really sorry about that." And the old gentleman laughed and he said, no, Pastor, that's fine. I was done with them anyway." Pastor said, "What do you mean you were done with them anyway?" The old gentleman said, "Well, I like chocolate, so I'd licked all the chocolate off those peanuts and put them back in that bowl for you." What you believe about reality can really harm you, can it? God did not make our world to be a place of corruption, violence, and death as it is today. God came to speak comfort and solace to our world. John 3:16 and 17 says this to us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Joseph's peace can be our peace this morning. Believe and trust God's word to your soul. John 14:23 and 27 says, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit from the Father, will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remember and will remind you of everything I have said to do to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Folks, we do not follow the ways of the world, but we follow the ways of God. May you find deep and lasting peace in Him. Upon your hearts this morning. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen. Please be seated. Would you take out your bulletins with me this morning for some brief announcements? First, we have a special guest in our midst this morning who's candidating here at our church for Cantonese associate pastor position. His name is written down here of Wei Feng Chao, and his good wife Grace is with him as well. Travel country to be with us, and just want to introduce them all over here to you. Thank you for joining us, Pastor. Also, you'll note in our bulletin here that we have a children's ministry table. That's going to be over in our connections room, so please go and join there. In our bulletin on the back there, you'll have our list of international workers. And perhaps you're thinking, maybe we should have a connection with our international workers during this Christmas season. Again, we're putting out some Christmas cards there for you to sign along at the children's table, so you can sign your name and get it over to people like Ming and Cindy and Albert and Diane and Tu and Han. So please, do take that opportunity afforded to you as well. In the foyer as well, Pastor John Davies has a condolence book. You might want to write down a favorite memory or just a brief message to the family. We will have a memorial service or a celebration of life service here at Westwood Alliance Church on January 7th. That's a Saturday, so you can mark your calendars for that. Also, we would love to have counselors helping us for our children's choir production on the 10th and the 11th. If you feel that you could come up and ask them to write their name on a piece of paper and ask them some questions about what it was that they did on that calling to receive Christ as their Savior, you're more than welcome to join us. We're going to meet in the little circular room and talk a little bit about what's involved in that for the 10th and the 11th. And maybe you can't join both nights. Maybe you can just join one night. That's fine. Please do come and talk to us, though. I'll be meeting with these folks in the round room, right adjacent to the connection room, to talk about counseling for that evening. So would you do that right after the service? Also, you'll note, too, that we're needing some volunteers to deliver our Christmas cards, and we changed the date on you, okay? I changed it from Wednesday to Tuesday because on Wednesday I'm supposed to be at a small group dinner function again. And so I paid for that meal, by the way. So I didn't want to miss it. So you'd want to come on Tuesday night here at the church. There's a sign-up sheet out in the back that you can sign up, or just come and mention that as you pass through the door this morning. Also, just in the way of announcements, we want to welcome Benjamin Lim, up to the stage here. And I think they got a short video clip, and then we'll welcome Ben up. Okay.
Christmas is all about me.
It's about us.
Me.
Me, 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 me.
Hi.
What? It's Christmas. The angels are singing. And I know the reason. The Savior is born. It's Christmas.
Christmas is a time of giving.
We would like you to bring a food can so that we can give them to a local food bank.
So bring an item to share.
Hi, my name is Benjamin. I'm not here to talk about making coffee, but I just want to let you know this year we are privileged to be able to host the Christmas musical by our children ministry. And just to give you an idea, the extent of publicity that we have promoted for this event, we have it on Facebook. We also put it up in Fairchild Radio. We have posters in all Tri-Cities Library. We have posters in the 11 churches. Thanks to Fred and I going around all the 11 churches to give out tickets and posters. We also have advertised in a Tri-City newspaper, which is this one right here. So, for those of you bringing friends and coming for this event, please come early, as seating will be first come, first serve basis. Admission is free with tickets, and you may bring a non-perishable food to be donated by the church to the needy. By the way, this idea is from the children. On the day of the musical, kindly park along at the Ozada Street so that we will allow our visitor to use our parking stall. And lastly, our children choir, kids, and Irene and the production team has been working tirelessly for this event. In fact, it started 6 months ago just for this coming event. So please uphold all of us in prayer. A lot of us are getting sick, and pray for our visitor that they may too find a true meaning in Christmas. So thank you.
I was concerned because I was going to bring a perishable food item to the event. Maybe a bit of my turkey, but no, can't do that. Maybe a can or a box or something. Okay. And the ticket was a good point, too. I need to make sure I bring my ticket because I've heard if I don't bring my ticket, that I could be waiting outside the door until everybody else gets in with their ticket, and then I might be allowed in because it's a full house, right? Okay. So be concerned about those things. As you leave this morning, I would ask that you would pray for the peace of the city this morning and extend that peace to one another this morning as well. Please bow in prayer and then be dismissed.